Let us return to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and see what Paul writes to this assembly. Brothers, he said in verse 1, I do not want you to be ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized to Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Note, they didn't get wet, of course. And all ate the same spiritual food. Verse 4. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were scattered in the wilderness. And these things were our examples, that we should not be lusters after evil, as they also lusted. Nor should we be idolaters, even as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit fornication, as some of them fornicated, and 23,000 fell in one day. 23,000 of whom? Of the children of Israel that were redeemed out of Egypt. Have you seen anyone struck dead in your church lately? Oh yes, take the warnings from 1 Corinthians 10. But has anyone been struck dead in your church lately? Think about that, friends. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted him and were destroyed by serpents. Nor murmur, says Paul in verse 10, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Oh, you see, friends, in Corinthians, all the things of the Old Testament, that covenant, were still in operation among the assemblies at that time. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First of all, we notice in verse 23, the Apostle Paul says this, For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. Fascinating phrase, isn't it? What the Lord taught Paul, he delivered to the Corinthians. He said this, of course, in 1 Corinthians 15 as well. He says in chapter 15, verse 3, For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. And of course, what Paul received in 1 Corinthians 15 was about Christ dying for our sins according to the Scriptures. What he received about Christ dying for our sins was according to the Scriptures. It might have been revelation, but it wasn't regarding anything hidden in God. This reminds us, of course, of his vigorous claim in Galatians chapter 1. Paul says in verse 11 and 12, And brothers, I make known to you the gospel, which was preached by me, that it is not according to man. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, except by revelation of Jesus Christ. Please be careful here, very, very careful. Simply because the gospel was given to him by Christ does not mean that it was the good news of Ephesians 3 that was hidden in God. For as we know in 1 Corinthians 15, it was all according to the Scriptures. So what was it in 1 Corinthians 11 which Paul had received from the Lord? Verse 23 again, For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread, and giving thanks he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. In the same way he took the cup also, and supping, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he shall come. Now then, what Paul received of the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 was all related to the new covenant. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verses 1 down through to verse 5, Paul talks about letters of commendation, and he says to the Corinthians, You are our letters of commendation, not written on tablets of stone, but in the fleshly tablets of the heart. And his efficiency, he said, or sufficiency, was not in themselves, but is of God. In verse 6, he said, who also has made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. In this same chapter, in verse 11, Paul says, for if that which passes away was glorious, then that which remains is much more glorious. Corinthians was written in the Acts period when the old covenant was vanishing or fading or passing away. You might like to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, and verse 10, and verse 11. For he says in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 13, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know partially, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And when the new covenant, according to Jeremiah, is on the hearts of Israel, for as Jeremiah 31:34 says, and they shall no more teach each man his neighbour, and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. While Paul was a minister of the new covenant, it was not established, either in the Gospels or during the Acts period. It was ratified by the blood of the Lord, but not established. At the end of the age, when Corinthians was written, it was still the old covenant fading. The new covenant was anticipated in that anointing that the believers received during that time, those supernatural abilities, one of which was a word of knowledge. What was it that Paul received from the Lord in 1 Corinthians 11? He was a minister of the new covenant. And this is not being a minister of the dispensation of the grace of God as found in Ephesians, now is it? Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we look very carefully at the warnings he provides. Verse 26 again says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he shall come. Verse 27 continues, so that whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, he will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man judge himself. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30 says, for this cause, this lack of judgment, this lack of examination, for this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and many sleep, which of course Paul refers to death as sleep. Paul goes on to say in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Turn that sinner out from among you, says Paul in chapter 5, and let him be judged with the world. Here in chapter 11, in the same context, we have that immediate, that very, very visible judgment of the Lord on the believers of that time. Now, many of my listeners will be thinking immediately of some other people who were suffering at the hand of the Lord's judgment, according to the terms of that covenant, so clearly spelt out in the Leviticus 26 passage we read. But before going and looking at some other examples of divine judgment which occurred during this time, Let's go back and read a psalm. Psalm 101 is in the fourth or Numbers book. The Numbers group of psalms features the earth and the nations. Rather interesting, isn't it? The earth and the nations. And it celebrates the rest for the earth. Let's have a look at the psalm and see how this rest is brought about or enforced. Psalm 101 opens with what seems to be an interesting juxtaposition of words. It says in verse 1, "I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing." Mercy, indicating kindness, loving kindness, goodness, faithfulness, love, acts of kindness. That's really fascinating, and we love that part, don't we? But of course, as we've seen in our study thus far, during the book of Acts, and particularly in Corinthians, there's also acts of judgment. Let's read the rest of this psalm, which is describing rest, and see how this rest is brought about. Psalm 101, "I will sing of mercy and judgment. To you, O Lord, I will sing praise. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I have hated the work of those who turn aside. It shall not hold on to me." 101 verse 4, "A perverse heart will depart from me. I will not know the wicked. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbour, I will cut him off." Oh dear. "Him who has a high look and a proud heart, I will not allow. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land." It's all about the earth, isn't it? "So that they may dwell with me." Oh, come out from among them and be separate, says Paul to the Corinthians. "He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works falsely shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not stay in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, so that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of Jehovah." The city of Jehovah. Now, I know a couple of people who deceived or tried to deceive and tell lies in the book of Acts, and they were in the city of Jehovah. Let's go and read about them. In Acts 5, verse 3, Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart for you to lie?" Ah, one of the very things that would not be tolerated in Psalm 101. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? And hearing these words, Ananias fell down and expired. He was cut off from the land and certainly from the city of Jehovah. In Acts chapter 12, we have, of course, Herod, a pseudo-king of Israel, a bit of a political appointment. And Herod, we know, had killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and had imprisoned Peter. Now, I want you to think about that. Herod was in Jerusalem most of the time, and as the king of Israel, he is killing the Lord's messengers and treating them despitefully. You cannot be a king of Israel and reject the Lord's messengers. In Acts 12:21, Herod made a speech to those of Tyre and Sidon, and they said, "Oh, this is the voice of a god and not a man." And Herod was probably sitting there accepting the approbation of the people when the angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. You can't be a king of Israel, friend, and not give glory to God. You're reigning over God's inheritance. And of course he was eaten of worms and he died. Wouldn't it be nice if God would strike dead a few tyrants today? Wouldn't it be nice if God dealt in judgment the way he did in the book of the Acts? Let's go to James. In James 5, verse 13, James, of course, is writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you. So James is writing to the assemblies of Jewish believers who had sick people among them. Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will cure the sick, and the Lord shall raise up that sick person. And if he has committed any sins, it will be forgiven him. Ah, we notice that in this context, first of all, it's not the faith or the prayer of the sick person, it's the faithful prayer of the elders. So if you have a sick person in your assembly who is not healed, then perhaps it's time to call the elders together and challenge them about their faith, according to James. Notice also in this context that the sickness is associated with sins. James goes on to say, verse 16, confess faults to one another and pray for one another in order that you may be healed. You see, James was written in the Acts period when those who sinned were judged and punished for their sins by the Lord. Oh yes, as says Psalm 101, mercy and judgment went together. Is this contrary to those who claim that grace and law can't mix? It is important to note the context of James, and he says in verse 8 of chapter 5, you be patient also, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. These judgments, this mercy and judgment, was in the close proximity to the Lord's coming. Let's have a look at some other verses in the New Testament. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, John says, little children, it is the last time. But the word for time is the word for hour. What he said is this, little children, it is the last hour. And just as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. And from this we know that it is the last hour. He's not talking about now, he's talking about when he's writing. It's the last hour now when he's writing that epistle. The writer of Hebrews says, talking about Christ, in chapter 9, verse 26, but now once in the end of the age, Christ has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The end of the age, the last hour, says John. The coming of the Lord draws near, says James. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. For yet a little while, a very little while, and he who shall come and will not delay. That is how it appears in the original language. These writers are telling us it's the end of the age. It's the last hour. I don't see the book of Acts being the beginning of anything or a transition from law to grace. Do you? Ah, but what about the Apostle Paul? Surely Paul doesn't say that it's the end of the age, does he? If he's really getting the information regarding the church, which is the body of Christ and the present dispensation of the grace of God? Well, let's go and read what Paul says in the very epistle which deals with a man being delivered to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, 1 Corinthians. We have already looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul went back to the Exodus to warn his readers about all those terrible judgments which came upon Israel. Oh, they'd been typically redeemed. God showed mercy, but he was judging them as well. This certainly appears to me to be the same dispensation in Corinthians as it was in the wilderness wanderings. What do you think? Now let's read verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10. And all these things happened to them as examples. And it is written for our warning, that's Paul and the Corinthians, on whom the ends of the world or age have come. Notice, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said that upon him and the Corinthians at that time, the ends of the age had come. Paul in Corinthians says exactly the same as John did, as James did, as the Hebrew writer did. It was the last hour, it was the end of the age, and the coming of the Lord was drawing near. Of course, in 1 Corinthians 15, we all know that Paul said, I'm telling you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. In other words, Paul included himself in those who would live through to the coming of the Lord, which he also wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. So all these judgments of the Lord were in the last hour or the ends of the age. Let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 6. Paul writes, some have been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and what? The powers of the age to come. These judgments, these mercies of the Lord, these supernatural abilities, they all went hand in hand. And they were powers of the coming age. It was the ends of the age then, remember? And the new age that was anticipated was Christ reigning out of Zion with a rod of iron. This is not an anticipation of the dispensation of the grace of God, is it? Some teach that the Acts period was a transition, but Paul, in contradiction, says, oh no, it's a foretaste of the coming age, which is not the dispensation of the grace of God, friends. In Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, Israel could either be blessed or they could suffer under his hand of judgment, depending upon their obedience. And let us not forget that back then Israel were about to enter the kingdom. When we come to the book of Corinthians, Paul opens by saying, friends, in everything you are enriched by him, in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. We don't have this confirmation today, friends, but they did then, upon whom the ends of the age had come. And he says in verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming or the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This coming, or apocalypse as the word is in verse 7, is Christ coming with a trumpet blast and with angels, as King of kings and Lord of lords, to roar out of Zion, as Joel says. And let us look carefully at verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He shall also confirm you to the end. Oh, isn't it going to be a beginning, this present dispensation of the grace of God? Well, not when Paul wrote Corinthians, it wasn't. He shall confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Thessalonian epistles of Paul have the same theme. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, Paul says, they were waiting for his Son from out of heaven. And in chapter 5, 21 to 23, Paul said, prove all things, hold fast to the good, abstain from every appearance of evil, and may the God of peace himself sanctify you, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to abstain from every appearance of evil because he wanted them to be preserved blamelessly until that time. They could have lived through to it had they walked wisely and in the counsel of the word of the Lord. If they engaged in any evil whatsoever, they would be judged and taste the power of that coming age. Let us remind ourselves of some verses from Psalm 101 again. Verse 5. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbour, I will cut him off. Him who has a high look and a proud heart, I will not allow. Verse 7 says, he who works falsely shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not stay in my sight. But verse 6 says this, my eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, so that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Now, are we ready to consider the fate of this man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 according to the word of the Lord? Paul's judgment is this: deliver that one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. This man has to be cut off from the assembly, just as sinners were in the Old Testament. Oh, in Christ he had life. Israel could not go back to Egypt, but there was something he could lose. Listen to the words of our apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. If anyone's work which he build remains, he shall receive a reward. If anyone's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Certainly, faithful service will be rewarded in that day. But during the Acts period, they were the temple, remember, and God dwelt among them. Look at verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 3. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells among you? But the Lord would not tolerate sin and imperfect walk in the Acts period. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, Moses, it was said, esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. And in this very self-same chapter, in verse 35, we read about women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Friends, whether we want to believe it or not, the Bible talks about reward. And in a context of reward, we have a better resurrection. Let's go back to Corinthians then, finishing in the chapter where we started in 1 Corinthians 5. Paul tells them to put that one out from among them. And he says in verse 12, for what is it to me to also judge those who are outside? At this point in the ends of the age, while they were waiting for the coming of the Lord, they were not judging those who were outside. You judge those who are inside, he said. Remember, all this is an anticipation of the coming reign of Christ on the earth, where wicked ones will be judged and put away. Therefore, put out from you the evil one. No chapter break. Verse 1 of chapter 6, do any of you dare, when you have a matter against another, to go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Judge among yourselves, he said. Do you not know that the saints, in the book of the Acts, of course, not now, but back then, that the saints would judge the world after the return of Christ and the setting up of the kingdom? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Verse 3 says of chapter 6, looking forward to the kingdom, remember. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? Let's stop and connect the dots here. The judgment among themselves was an anticipation of the broader judgment they would have in the kingdom as they served the Lord Christ. But what about the one they delivered to Satan? Well, friends, he had life in Christ. But I doubt he had a better resurrection in view. I doubt he went to meet Christ in the air and descend with him and with his angels and with great glory. This fornicator would not serve with Christ. he would not reign with. He would not judge the world in resurrection. He would not get that better quality of resurrection that those would obtain who were faithful and blameless and preserved to the coming, and they would go to that meeting in the clouds, which was the glory the faithful anticipated at that time. I pray this lesson has been a help to you as you examine the word of truth rightly divided.